to somebody that's been pastoring the church for a little while. How long do you think I can draw this out for? If you'd like to give you a round one of applause for Paul Bedford. Woo-hoo!
Right, start again. Good evening, everybody. How are you tonight? Excellent. Is that my screen that's on there? Will it now work if I press my button? Hey, here we go. Coca-Cola Light. Who loves Coca-Cola Light? Diet Coke. Coca-Cola Light. It's got everything that Coca-Cola is, apart from sugar. Originally Coca-Cola had cocaine in it. So Coca-Cola is already Coca-Cola Light. It's just now Coca-Cola Light without the sugar. Who likes Coca-Cola Zero caffeine-free? What is the point of Coca-Cola? No caffeine, no sugar. It's just basically a sticky licorice kind of flavoury type. What is it? What flavour is it? Well, I just like Coca-Cola Light. It's kind of all right. I like Coca-Cola Light. Decaf Coca-Cola Light, I have no grasp what that is about. Because all the things that make it Coca-Cola have been removed. But light is good. Who has any food product at home with light written on it? Raise your hands now. Oh, we all like light. That's code for less fat, more sugar. Okay. Light. We like things cut back, a little bit less of. It's like those Weight Watchers meals. You know, you see pictures with Weight Watchers meals and the plate's full. What they don't tell you is the plate is 6 inches across. It's not Weight Watchers food. There's nothing different about that food. There's just a lot less of it. It's like food light. I like church light. 50% less commitment. Church light. The home of the 5% tithe. 15-minute sermons maximum. Optional worship services. Prayer not required unless in trouble. Choose your favourite 8 out of 10 commandments. Everything you ever wanted in a church, but less. Who would like to attend that church? Church light. Oh, but come on, you say you don't, but the truth is, inwardly, the way we live, we all think we attend church light. We all kind of want that. All right, let me put it this way. Who hasn't broken a commandment this year? Raise your hand. In other words, you're all living church light. I'm not even going to guess what these two are laughing about now, but right now they probably need some sort of deep, serious counselling and ministry because it was so bad and so wrong. It's a pitch, for viewers at home, this is completely darkened out room, but I can actually see the red glow coming from down there. That was so sinful and inappropriate. Church light. Because in this modern world, we can't expect full-on church. Can we? We can't possibly do full-on Christianity. How could we ever dream about doing full-on Christianity when even our Coca-Cola has had the sugar and caffeine taken out of it? We can't then expect the full-on commitment to full-on church. Surely not. Let me read to you some verses from John chapter 15. John was a guy that wrote some letters. He was around with Jesus. So if you're new to this and you don't quite know who John was a man that lived a long time ago but was a contemporary of Jesus. He spent time with him. And this is what he wrote down when he wrote down Jesus' very own words. And this is what Jesus said. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is like dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to. And acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce fruit, when you mature as my disciples. How many of you here grow grapevines? Would that be nobody then? Okay. How many people here enjoy the fruit of the grapevine? Yes, grape juice is delightful. Grapes. So, we can't talk about grapevines because not many of us here are generally doing grapevines. However, most of us here do mobile phones. Here's my phone. Come on, do that rock thing where you'll light up your phones for me. Make me feel like I'm famous. Come on, I need to see your phone. Oh, come on. This is my phone. This is my phone. It's like a night sky. You can't see this, guys, online, but this is like the night sky. Here's my phone. This phone is my diary. This phone is my email. It's my text messenger. It's my game station. It projects my image by the things I put on social media. It can even make telephone calls. It has apps on it. That's applications for the non-technically minded people out there. The best apps are completely free. Does anybody here get free apps? The thing is, when you get free apps, you get kind of app light. You think it's really good, and then it says, to go further will require $2.99. It will require me to commit to the app. Or I can just play around the edges of it and say, I've got the app, but I've not made the commitment to the $2.99 to unlock all of the possibilities that that app could bring. I have to buy to get the full experience. See, my life is like that vine. My life can be like that telephone. It has to be connected to be of value, to be alive. It's interesting, isn't it? Does anybody find their phone interesting? I know you all do, because all the way through this meeting, as I kept glancing around, suddenly there'd be a flash of light across here, and a flash of light across there, and a flash of light on the front row next to Julie, because she was constantly checking her phone. Okay. She was taking photographs of everybody. Phones are interesting, but if they're not connected, they don't work. They just don't work if they're not connected. It needs electrical supply to bring it into life and to charge batteries. It needs apps to make all the functions operate as it's capable of. It needs connection to some sort of telephone system so I can make telephone calls. It needs commitment from me to keep it connected and to keep paying the bill, otherwise it gets disconnected and goes flat. It requires commitment to keep it alive. Listen to this. There's a difference between interest and commitment. I can be interested in my phone, but actually I have to be committed to keeping it turned on and alive. When you're interested in something, you'll do it if it's convenient. When you're committed to something, you get involved. Now, you can't stand on the edge of a cliff looking out over the sea to do some of that cliff diving and be interested. You can't say you're a cliff diver when you're stood at the top of the cliff contemplating leaping into the sea. What does it take? Commitment. It takes commitment. Has anybody ever done any high diving? Just can't imagine that feeling of standing on the edge and leaping into nothing. You know that's going to feel amazing, isn't it? Oh. You just, like, just that moment. Oh. I love those moments of absolute commitment where it's a life or death moment. I was once riding my motor, Julie's never heard this before. I was once with a guy called Alistair Beattie, which will probably explain all if you know Alistair Beattie. And we might have been travelling quickly from Barnsley to Sheffield on our motorcycles. It might have been fairly quick. And I went around a corner and suddenly realised his bike was a lot newer and a lot faster than mine, but he wasn't going to get away from me until I suddenly realised, wow, this corner's tighter than I realised. And I am so drifting onto the other side of the road into the oncoming traffic. I've got two choices at that point. I'm interested in the concept of death, or I am committed to staying alive. I decided to commit to staying alive. And the only way to get a motorcycle around the corner quickly is to lean it right, right over, till your foot pegs are making sparks on the floor. And I've got to tell you, at that moment, you have never felt more alive than I did. And then when we pull up later, when Alistair says something like, "Wow, mate, you can really handle that bike," and I'm thinking, you have no idea what the insides of my trousers now look like. Needless to say, I was committed to living and I am still alive. John 10:10 says this. This is Jesus again. "I came so that you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they have ever dreamed of." Jesus committed absolutely to us. He committed absolutely to us. And he committed so much to life that he gave his life for our life. That's commitment. That's connection. And I love the picture of connection. See, what I could do right now, I could invite people at home who might be watching this to ring my mobile to see if they're connected to me. Just at home to see if they are connected to me, to see if they love me, to see if they care about me, or are you just interested? Are you interested in tonight or are you committed? You could ring me. From time to time, my telephone gets full of junk. My phone gets full of old stuff. Old pictures, old messages, old emails, old just nonsense. Useless stuff. Distractions. Those apps that with silly games where you pop balls that fall down in a row or you line things up. And things actually just devour life and like consume your brain and your intellect. With every little ball that disappears, a brain cell dies. Did you know that, Joel? Just a comment. Oh! What about texts? No. Got to be phone calls. Got to be phone calls. It's got to be phone calls from people not here. Okay. Our phones can become so full, they're a distraction. We can be so committed to our phone, they become a distraction from real life. Jordan Corbett, hey up, bish. I won't ring you, but I'll text you. Here's the deal. Anybody that text messages is so daft they misunderstood the concept of phoning if you're not in the room. I can delete, or in the building, I can delete the history of my phone. I can wipe it completely. I can take away every good thing, every bad thing. Layer after layer after layer of its history can be removed from this phone. Sometimes it's so full up it won't even work properly, but I can delete things. It's like cutting off branches. It's like cutting off branches. I can delete all the stuff that gets in the way, all the stuff that clogs it up. I can clean things out. I can even reset it and take it exactly back to the perfect factory settings as though it's just been made brand spanking new. If you want something new, come on. Sarah Dodd, I can't talk now. I'm doing a sermon and it's been grossly inappropriate for me, but it's lovely to hear from you. The Lord bless you and keep his face shine upon you and his countenance be upon you and place his name upon you. Amen. Shout good night to Sarah.
Night, Sarah.
You've just taken part. But being as I said to Sarah Dodd, there's a good chance. If you want something new, you have to stop doing something old. I had a good friend who had a phone like that for years and years and years. And he used to drive a VW. His name may have been Shaw. Might have been James Shaw's dad, William Shaw. And he would not get rid of his amazing old phone until they stopped doing analog. And then he was so upset. "I've only had that phone 15 years. And it still works perfectly well. Why did I need to get rid of it?" Because you needed something new. Because you needed something new. Listen to this, John 3:16. "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again." You know, so often, because we say that Jesus wants to give us something new for old, we seem to think that that gives us the right to point at people and say, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, what you're doing is bad. It's not about the bad. It's about the new that Christ is bringing us. Because he's dealt with the bad at the cross. When we give our lives to him, the bad no longer exists. It is dealt with. It is covered. It is paid for. We are bought new, and it is forgotten and forgiven. God wasn't just interested in us, but he was absolutely committed to us by giving us his son. That's why he's looking for commitment from us. In 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says this, the old life is gone. A new life starts. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world right with himself through Jesus, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. That's amazing, isn't it? Have you noticed what God is dealing with there? He's talking about giving us the new. So often we major on this thing that, oh, I'm just a dirty sinner. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. I've done all these things wrong. You know what? God has just pressed the reset. He's taken you back to the perfect factory settings and said, you know what? We are about the new. We major so much on the wrong stuff. You see, all over Facebook, all over the news, all sorts of Christian websites and stuff. We tell people why they are wrong, why they are dirty, why they are broken, why they're connecting to this or listening to that. Listen, here's the truth. Jesus Christ is about life. And he's about dealing with the stuff to give us new. Didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. How amazing is our God? How gracious is he? Can we have the band back up, please? Just take a look at this. God's grace is not defined as God being forgiving to us, even though we sin. Grace is when God brings us a wholeness and full life, which makes up for all our failings. God's grace to us is that our brokenness is not the final word. It's that God makes beautiful things out of our mess. Can you get hold of the sentiment of that? Get hold of that. That it doesn't, God's grace doesn't end with removal of sin. Because our sin and our brokenness isn't the final word. What he's making that is beautiful in our lives is the final word. He's the final word. So this evening, I don't know where you are with God. I don't know what things you carry. I don't know what history you carry. But my experience and my history tells me that most people carry an awful lot of old apps, an awful lot of old history, layer after layer after layer of stuff that they wish they didn't carry anymore, stuff that stops them living in the new because they're so caught up with the past. But listen to what Scripture says. The old is gone. The new has come. Scripture says, once you were darkness, now you are children of light. It's that stark. It is that big. That is the grace of God, that he's doing something beautiful out of our mess. So let's throw off the old and get something new today. Let's not be interested in Christ. Let's be committed to him, because there's a huge difference. I'd just like to pray, if that's all right. And then the band are going to lead us in worship. So why don't we all just stand, if possible? If you can, if you're physically capable. I'm just going to pray a prayer that we can pray when we're becoming Christians. If you're already a Christian, it's fine. Just remind yourself of these words. I'm just going to read them out. Just listen and close your eyes. But it just reminds us of how amazing our God is. Lord Jesus, I know I've done things wrong in my thoughts, words and actions. There are so many good things I've not done. There are so many wrong things I have done. I'm sorry for those wrong things and turn from everything I know to be bad. You gave your life for me on a cross. Gratefully, I give my life back to you. Now I ask you to come into my life. Come in as my Savior to clean me. Come in as my Lord to lead me. And I will serve you all the remaining days of my life. Amen. You see, that's God's grace, making something beautiful out of our mess. So let's commit to that. Let's enjoy being in his presence. So this evening, if you don't know him as your Lord and Saviour, if there's stuff going off in your life, then I'm going to be around, available at the end to chat. So the guys on stage will be around, some of our leadership around the church. Talk to them. Open up. Let's talk to one another in the presence of God and allow something beautiful to be made as our history is cut off and God deals with our mess and makes his new creations. Amen. Let's worship God together.